Dave Moore
on Today FM
podcast.
You'll know him from shows like The Thick of It, one of my favourites. Rev is in that new Full Monty. And of course, he was Archie in Ballymoree. But now comedian Miles Jupp is on his way to Dublin to bring his comedy show to us. Good morning, Miles.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm glad to talk to somebody who has even more children than I do, because I have four. But don't you have five?
I do have five, yes. Four seems like a very small amount. Well, we have twins in there, so we've been through the probably the same number of deliveries.
No, I have twins too. I've only been through three deliveries. Seems, yeah.
Oh my word! I know that really does seem a very light workload. If you going from 0 to 1, I think is the biggest. That's the biggest.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, and 1 to 2, I found quite odd. To be honest with you, you know, that kind of one parent, one child, and everyone constantly, you know, split that way. But by the time I went 2 to 4, and I was like, you know what, just grow up yourselves. Whatever happens, happens. You know.
Yeah, yeah. The two to four thing is the that's when you find yourself in a room with a doctor, and they're going, I mean, if you've got anything in your diary, if you cancel, maybe you'd be quite stressed. But you know, it all settles down. I say it all settles down. It's all you know, you're spinning plates, aren't you?
And where did your twins arrive in the scheme of the five children?
They are they come in at number 3 and number 4. So we went back to the well.
Yes.
I can't explain why, but it definitely happened.
You weren't afraid of triplets afterwards, no?
Oh my word! No, I would. Yeah, I mean, I'm afraid of everything now. Goodness me, if an experience like that doesn't remind you about the existence of consequences, I really don't know. I really don't know what would.
That is absolutely fair. Well, look, I do want to talk about an experience you've had and how it has led to a show that my audience will be able to go and see in the Sugar Club in Dublin in June, on June 25th. We'll talk about all of that in a couple of minutes. Miles, people will know you from lots of things, which I think we'll talk about later in this interview, but there are lots of reasons why people know you. I certainly have a couple myself. We'll get to that. But let's go back and talk about how On I Bang, which is this latest show people can see in the wonderful venue of the Sugar Club here in Dublin in Ireland, is coming on June 25th. But how have you gotten to a point where you're doing a comedy show about a rather serious topic?
Yeah, well, I said the show is about having... I had in August 2021, I had a brain seizure. I had no symptoms. I had no, you know, it came just out of absolutely nowhere. Suddenly, you're in this terrifying situation. Mm. And then a few hours later, I was told I had a tumor in my brain, mercifully benign. They thought at that point, and then they checked. They were right, bless them. But I did have to undergo brain surgery, and which is an extraordinary. You know, it's all you've given a lot of sort of big, quite surreal, otherworldly sort of news in a very short space of time. And then you kind of what's weird about an experience like that is the kind of ambition is to going back to exactly how things were. There's no sort of but as if there is a normal again,
of course,
really after that. And yet that is the ambition. So the show, I started writing down sort of what had happened, really just to get it clear in my head. And because it was a bit of a blur, you know. They had periods of time when you're drifting in and out of consciousness, or every time you wake up, you're in a different bit of the hotel.
Hospitals, that's it, yeah.
I haven't recovered fully, Dave. You wake up in, you know, you come around and you think, oh, this isn't the ward. I'm sure I was in a different ward. And, you know, you don't quite recognise the doctors or whatever, because it was in COVID as well, so there was
Of course, 2021, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of shunting about being happened, and... you know, people making decisions at pace, I guess. And then, so I wanted to write it down to be clear in my head, really, what I'd been through. And then, you know, sort of much later, I sort of started writing. I was doing a couple of quite long acting jobs, and I thought I want to do something as well. So I started writing down the story of what had happened, not knowing quite what to do with it.
Sure.
And then I eventually was in an audience at a music gig, and I thought I want to go on tour again. I want to do a I love being in an audience. I give very good audience. I love being in an audience. And I kind of thought, I want to... Actually, I hadn't done a stand-up tour for sort of 7 years by that point. And I thought, I just wanted to do that again, really, to have that thing, you know, that sort of shared experience thing. I love going out in a theatre I haven't been to before, or a theatre I have been to before, that thing when you walk out and you're all, you know, the thing hasn't happened yet, and you're responsible for taking some kind of journey. So that's how it... And in the end, that's partly why I decided to go on tour. And I guess it's my way of telling, you know, once you've got a story to tell, I think you sort of, you might as well tell it. And that, this is doing a stand-up show about this experience is sort of is my way of doing it. If I wrote sort of, you know, sad prose, or I wrote,
or a song, or
whatever. Yeah, a song. Yeah, it'd be cool. I think an album. I think an album.
I think a concept album. Yeah.
Yeah, but with some padding, inevitably. But yeah, essentially, this is how I would just do.
And how are you now? I mean, how's everything? Obviously, you're well enough to come and do a tour, which is amazing. You're back working, doing things. But I mean, how are you in a general health scenario now?
Generally, I feel pretty good. I'm now in a situation, it's what, 2.5 years since the surgery. I was pretty drowsy for a bit. But I went back to work 6 weeks later.
Six weeks?
And it does sound bonkers now, but I didn't realise it at the time. I was doing Frankie Boyle's TV show. Yes. I rang him up and said, look, this is what's happened to me, just so you know, but I'm not telling other people. And I would go and do that, and it would be one day, and then I'd sort of go home and kind of sleep it off for probably 2 days at the time. But then I built it up doing different things. I did film the Full Monty, which was about 6 months. I did a tour of a play, which was a 12-month, back doing 8 shows a week for 12 weeks. That's a good old
That's a test. Yeah.
So you're just getting back on the horse in a number of ways, but you have this quite weird period where pretty much any time you do anything, you think, oh, it's the first time I've done this since surgery.
Yes,
will this be the thing I can't do anymore? Or whatever it is. So there's a sort of nervousness.
That's understandable, yeah. Well, hopefully you're not finding too many of those, and it certainly sounds like you're not, which is amazing. But look, I do want to talk about some of the other work you've done. It was a brief appearance in one of my favourite TV shows of all time, but The Thick of It and John Duggan is something that just will always stick with me. It's one of my favourite TV shows, and John's just inability to do anything right and to be constantly abused by Malcolm, who, if anyone has seen the show, will know, is just a wonderful character to have played. Although it was brief, but it was just such a great character and a great show.
Yeah, I was lucky to get to 2 episodes, I think. I mean, for me, it was weird because it was a show I watched.
Oh, yeah.
But they were really great, really nice people, very welcoming. You know, you get asked what you think about stuff by people whose opinions you really value, and just being in that, you know, really, so it's a sort of proper part. And also, I wasn't really doing much at the time, you know. I was pretty, things were pretty quiet, and suddenly to be in this situation where you've got Malcolm Tucker holding you by the lapels. He's quite a strong guy, Peter
Capaldi. Yeah,
there was one point, and I'd had a knee injury at the time, so I was putting all my weight on one leg, and I hadn't told people, and he sort of flung me by the lapels. I just went absolutely flying across the corridor onto the floor, and he just had a slightly shot what have I done look on his face. But all that dialogue is so great, and great. And the work involved in that, those writers, they write and write and write and write, and they pair it back and they pair it back and they write and write. And Peter, you know, so many scenes. It was a party conference on the first episode. I can just remember it was a changing room for the men, and he was just going, just him standing there in the pants going, can anyone run lines with me? I've got so many lines. And I was going, I can run lines if you want. She's going, and of course the lines, he's this really polite man, and then he goes, right, the lines, and the lines are just a load of absolute
well, that's it, because I'd love to play a clip of John Duggan and Malcolm Tucker having a conversation, but I'd just be thrown off the air immediately because every second word is Malcolm Tucker swearing.
Yeah, it'd be unacceptable.
Well, the other thing that a lot of my audience will probably know you from is from your role as Archie in Ballymore, and we are going back in time here, but a lot of my audience
can you play a clip of that?
I could definitely, there's less swearing in Ballymore than there is.
But you could legally.
But I think my audience, a lot of the younger element of my audience will have watched this as kids, and they'll realise that Archie in Ballymore is now, it's Miles Jupp, and here he is, and he's coming to do the show on the Sugar Club. But how do you look back on...
I saw a whole bunch of us. I did Glasgow a few weeks ago, and so I met up with Andrew, PC Plum, as you know, Julie, Miss Julie, you'll know, Juliet, Edie, the bus driver, you know, and I hadn't seen them for about 6-7 years, and it was great. It was just one of those things, and it's just you walk back in the room and it's straight back on. And these are people, you know, admittedly 22 years ago or whatever, we just did loads of stuff together. You know these people pretty well, and no amount of time can kind of erode that and those sort of shorthands. But it was fun, and it's quite strange now. Like my twin boys, I remember a couple of years ago, they well, longer than that, they came home from school and they were talking about it. And I was saying, why would you, I mean, have you got friends that watch it or something? And no, our teacher said he used to watch it. I was going,
That's terrifying,
Fair enough.
Well, you've certainly elevated from the original acting experience that you had on Ballymore, because you were recently in Napoleon, Emperor Francis II, directed by Ridley Scott, opposite Joaquin Phoenix. How was that experience?
I liked it, and I really, you know, it's weird, those experiences when suddenly you're just directly opposite someone whose work is sort of familiar to you, and kind of that you're here, you are doing the same thing, and I guess you have to get over that, because you've got to do the job every now and then. I remember being in a trailer once in Ireland, a makeup trailer, and there's, you know, Christopher Plummer's two seats over, and you think, but you're, you know, that's extraordinary. And then 2 months later, watching The Sound of Music with my children, thinking, that's mad to think that you've been in the same place
absolutely
as that person. But then, of course, when, you know, work is the great leveler, I think. You know, once you've done the same job as someone, you feel kind of, oh no, there's another person you can, you know, talk to.
Absolutely,
The sort of actor that doesn't mind you talking to them, rather than, I'm trying to remember my lines, please be quiet, don't talk between scenes. Just reproducing a recent experience.
You don't want to tell me who that was. That's absolutely fine. I understand completely.
They'll recognise themselves.
We are looking forward to seeing you in the Sugar Club on the 25th of June. Before I let you go, let's do the quick fire round really quickly. I do throw these at all my guests. What are you currently obsessed with, Miles?
I'm currently obsessed with, well, I do read quite a lot of news about the election that's just suddenly called. And I guess, actually, usually it would take you into loads of essays. Actually, it's taken me into that sort of spiral when you watch videos of other PR disasters. So I guess I'm slightly obsessed with that. Has a politician ever looked wetter?
Understandable.
That'd be my immediate obsession.
Okay, who is the most famous person in your phone?
The most famous person in my phone, probably someone like Olivia Colman, maybe. Or,
oh yeah.
Well, no, in India, my best mates is the England cricketer Mark Wood.
Oh, so
in India, he would have a fan base of, you know,
yes, a billion like people,
tens of millions. So no, it's probably worked globally. Probably Mark.
Okay, that makes sense. When you went to school when you were about 8 years old, did you bring a lunch to school? And if you did, what was in your lunchbox?
I'm afraid I didn't.
You had school dinners, did you?
But I can remember where there was a sort of dining room. It was the first, 8 years old was the first time I tried mustard. I saw someone else put ketchup on one side of a burger and mustard on the other. I thought, that looks delicious. Oh my, that was
there was a mistake. English mustard is
absolutely right.
The great leveler.
I didn't realise you just a little bit. That's all you need. Absolutely wrote off the afternoon. One incredibly red-faced boy at the back of the class. The teacher asked me, are you sure you're right? I'm absolutely fine. I'm just learning about condiments.
It's a steep learning curve.
On moderation. So I would have been safer if I had brought my own lunch to school.
Possibly true.
A lot blander, frankly.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad there was some learning experiences there. And the final question I ask everybody, Miles, because I don't, do you wash your legs in the shower?
Yes, I do. I do the full booner. I think while I'm here,
you might as well get it all done.
Yeah.
Well, look, we will wish you the best of luck on June 25th. The Sugar Club, a wonderful venue right in the middle of Dublin City. And you can go and see Miles Jupp doing on iBank, Ticketmaster.ie for tickets. Miles, a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Anne.
Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.